Y'all better tune in, tell a friend that the Playboy Comedy is in. Today is November the 28th, Wednesday. It is 11 o'clock a.m., and this is my live broadcast. I usually do this each and every Wednesday. You know, I switched the time because today I got a very, very, very special, amazing guest in the building, y'all. Mr. David A. Arnold, y'all. Yeah, I'm going to give y'all much more information on him, man. This show is going to be amazing. He's calling in at 11:15. It's going down. We're going to chop it up with him. But before I start the show, y'all, I want to give a shout-out to my brother-in-law. You know, I got some very bad news yesterday. I've been up all night talking on the phone to my sister, man. My sister lost her husband. His name is Lavelle Robinson Jr. He was born December 16th, 1968. And, y'all, we lost him yesterday. All of a sudden, November 27th, 2012, about 4:30. She, you know, I'm talking to my sister all night. She was right there with her husband when he passed. She said he was in another room. They were playing a game on the computer, and she didn't hear him respond. And then, boom, a thud on the floor, and he's gone. 43 years old, y'all. Shout out to my brother-in-law. And just let me give you a quick story on this brother, man. You know, back in the day, you know, I was living in Miami, moving back and forth to Chicago, and I just needed to crash. And, you know, he had such a big, warm heart, you know what I mean? He didn't have to allow me to move in with him and his family, but, you know, I was her brother, and he saw I was just a young brother trying to do something, man. I mean, he took me to comedy shows. You know, me and Lavelle hustled together, man. He also was my Masonic brother on the square, too. So more to be, man. You know, Lavelle, you've transitioned on to that great light to whom no traveler returns. We know how that one goes. We know what we discussed with that, my brother. So knowing that he was even laughing, y'all, my sister said he was laughing yesterday, and that's a beautiful thing. She said he woke up in the morning messing with her, you know, just in her face making her laugh, you know what I mean? So it's just one of them things, you know. It's hard to accept, but when you hear such a charming way of someone to pass on from this life, in at least a peaceful way, you know. Well, you know, you have to just thank God, and you have to wish that person the best, man. And like I say, I have nothing but fond, beautiful memories and love and respect for this brother, Lavelle Robinson Jr., y'all, my brother-in-law. All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and keep the show going. Like I say, I'm not going to do the RIPs today because there's so many people that's passed away, you know what I mean? We losing them, y'all. We losing major people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to schedule a special show for tomorrow to shout out all the people that we've lost. I'm going to do that tomorrow and do an RIP show. But today is such a magnificent show. I got to get on with the tone of the show because I got a major, 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 major entertainer, writer, comedian, actor. Mr. David Arnold is our special guest today, so we're going to go on and get that going. But before I do, y'all, I got to do what I do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got my friends and my fans out here, people that pay me attention, you know, that shout me out doing the thing. Shout out to my main man over there at Full Screen, hooking it up, man. We're going to be doing some major things, y'all. Got a casting coming up. Daryl Andrews, shout out to Carla and them, EOTM, man. They doing it big. Tina Graham had a birthday. Shout out to Tina Graham out there in NY. You know, just getting my shout outs on, man, letting people know that they're getting love over here from Trey Love. But I have to give my pokes, and then from there, I got to go on and rock these ladies, you know what I mean? Ladies, yes, I'm paying attention. I see you. I feel you. I love you, and I appreciate you. Just tap me on the shoulder. Let me know y'all thinking about me. And also remember, ladies, as I give you your pokes, I never say your last name because I don't want to get you in no trouble. So I say your first name, you know what I'm saying, to kind of protect the innocent. Y'all feel me. Gloria, Angelica, Lori, Sharifa, Nikki, Shannon, Karen, Janika, Ramona, Leota, Darlena, Sonia, Kim, Kia, Portia, Nisha, Alexandra, Simone. I miss Simone. I was supposed to see you in Chicago. I'm my bad. Faustina, Elke, Ronald. See, this ain't supposed to happen, dog. This ain't even right. Vanessa, y'all see, man, fellas, I be telling y'all, dog, it be like, what's up in the inbox? Don't ever poke a man. That's just not cool. Vanessa, I'm like, Ronald. Vanessa, God, like, boy. Tiffany, I am a boy, Damon. Anyway, shout out to Cat Williams. Woof. Man, praying for that brother. Rania, Jennifer, Carmen, Kathy, Robert. Damn, another nigga. Okay, my bad. See, I'm sorry, y'all. This day, I don't know why, fellas, you know, listen, let me put this out there, put the disclosure out, flat out. Ladies and gentlemen, they need to watch that on Facebook. Women poke women, that's cute. That's really cute. Men poking women, that's how we do, you know what I'm saying? But fellas, when you poke another man, they need to change the name to to like maybe like a tap, you know what I'm saying? Or when it's a dude, a what's up? Because that poke thing just ain't happening, yo. I'm feeling kind of embarrassed and a little bothered, you know what I'm saying? That these men would be on my page poking me. I had to try to delete it. I just deleted it. So fellas, don't get offended. You know, I still, you know, I support my brothers too. But yo, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? It's very tacky. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play my cut. And then from there, we're going to get back. And I'm going to tell y'all a little bit more about my special guest today, Mr. David A. Arnold. Ladies, thanks for the poke. Here's your rock.
L.A. Vegas Connect, baby.
When I see you in the club, I'm in problems from Trey Love. Baby, say you know what's up. Baby, let me do my stuff. I'm a rocker.
I need y'all to do Take That Home, baby. That's my cut. I'm a rocker. Y'all can catch that on CD, baby. You know what I'm saying? Download it. Hit me up. Catch me selling on the streets, performing that cut right before I open up doing my stand-up comedy act. Speaking of my stand-up comedy act, I have to shout out, literally, man, almost my flesh and blood brother in this comedy game, man, Mr. B. Cole. Some of y'all remember B. Cole, Brandon Cole from BET's Comic View back in the day. You know, he had a smooth, super slick comedy sketch saying, you know, about a sketch, I'm in love with a crackhead, man, and it was just amazing. I remember watching it, you know what I'm saying, and just as a teenager even, like, man, this brother smooth, man, you know, Chi-Town representing, and, you know, actually, we've become good friends over the years. You know what I mean? We both kind of Comedy View All-Stars, and I just want to say he does a comedy show out in Chicago, Harvey, Illinois, called The End Zone. I'm going to give y'all that information later. But, yo, me and Sean Morgan and B. Cole, man, I miss doing comedy like that, man, old school comedy where you get on stage, man, basically it's the host and two comedians, and both comedians get to do, you know what I mean, 30 minutes apiece. Because my thing is, you know, it don't take 17,000 comedians to get on the show, and I think that's kind of, it takes away from the essence of professional comedians able to get on stage and do 20, 30 minutes. Speaking of professional comedians, man, my special guest today, this dude, I mean, there are so many different ways and words and just accolades to describe Mr. David Arnold. I had the pleasure of taking his class this year. You know how, like, as a comedian actor, you should take classes. You know, the thing is, Denzel, and a lot of people don't know this, even Denzel Washington still takes acting classes. So, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, some of my brothers, when I say, yeah, man, I'm taking David Arnold stand-up, you know, art of stand-up class, and I'm telling cats that around the country, you know what I'm saying? Some of the people that's been knowing me, you know, for the time I've been doing it, you know, over here for over 10 years, and saying, man, what you doing taking comedy? Man, you've been doing comedy 15 million years, man. And I'm saying, to them, I'm saying, but, you know, the thing is, you know, I needed to sharpen up. You know, I'm in L.A., and stage time here, you can get stage time, but it's you only get the 8 to 10 minutes. You know, people don't realize L.A. is a showcase town. So, you know, a person being used to getting up there and doing 30 minutes, hey, that first 10 minutes, I'm up there just really getting the crowd warm and getting my set together, you know. But here in L.A., you got to sharpen it up. So when I took David's class, man, I mean, just the logistics, you know, the setup, premise, punch, you know, the tags, the rants, the details that this man, you know, teaches in his class, man, I'm gonna tell you. And I recommend it to all my homies out there, you know what I'm saying? Like comedians and stuff that are out in LA, you know, doing this and doing that, and, you know, people that haven't yet done comedy, you know, that wanna do it. I recommend his class for every level of comedian across the board, because it really did for me personally, and I'm going to say what it did for me personally. It really sharpened me up, man, and it gave me the confidence I needed to get back out here. Man, I'm talking about to the point, you know, I'm out here producing my own shows and I'm going hard in the paint, because David, you know, he's a veteran too. Some of you may not know. David Arnold has also been in the military and was in the Navy. So, you know, myself having a military background, I see how, you know, he does his thing, man. This guy is the most focused person, you know, in this industry that I've ever had the pleasure of working with, meeting, you know what I mean? And, again, taking his class. Let me give you some of the detailed points about what his class is. In week one, y'all, we learned, you know, how to communicate comedy. Week two, we will do the joke, the mime, joke structure, the rant, you know, the comedy commandments, you know what I mean? Just, you know, week three, four, five, and six. I don't want to give out all this stuff. I'll let him talk more about it. But it's a six-week course. And like I said, I had the opportunity to take it. And I'm going to tell you, you know, to my fellow comedians, even before I get on stage, every time I get on stage, I always review the notes along with my set. Because, people kill me. You know, you always hear people saying, yeah, man, I'm funny, man. You know, I should be doing what you're doing. And they think it's easy for us to get on stage for that length of time, take the mic, control the crowd, and not just tell jokes, but properly communicate to people to invoke laughter. And people kill me because they can sit around a barbecue and make a few people laugh thinking that it's easy. I'm here and the first to tell you that it's far from easy. Let me give you a few of David's accolades. He's been in films such as The Greek Show, The Detectables, you know, TV shows such as Meet the Browns, which is currently running right now, recurring role on TBS, and some of you remember a show where I actually, you know, became a David Arnold fan, was Black Men Revealed. He hosted that show, and I really, really enjoyed that show, man. David's an excellent communicator, man, and I'm going to tell you something. It's just, you know, it's amazing to watch, you know, him work and the things he's done. He's been on guest star on such shows as Entourage and The Untold Story of ER. He was the lead in that. Stand-up comedy, man, David's been everywhere. He's been on Def Comedy Jam, the Montreal Comedy Festival in 2005, Martin Lawrence's First Amendment, Laugh-A-Palooza, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, Comic View, three appearances, Bay Area Comedy Competition, Just Jokes Comedy DVD, Speedy and Friends Comedy DVD. The list goes on and on, man. So, you know, we want to just say that, you know, it's just amazing to have his brother on the show today. So what we're going to do, y'all, is we're going to go to a little music here, and we're going to wait because we should have David Arnold in the next 15 seconds. Lay back, y'all. Let's enjoy some Heavy D. Peace. Trying to pass another script, man?
Hilarious. No, I'm actually standing here inside the Sprint store trying to get them to fix my phone, which has been, a 3-hour process. I've been here. They said it was going to be a half hour. That was 2 days ago. Like, I think I work here. I don't know.
He spent Thanksgiving in the Sprint store. Hey, man, I want to jump into what I know you got going on right now. I saw your post today, man, and have one of your alum, man, I want to shout out your comedy class, man. Let's talk about that. What happened last night at the Ha Ha?
Last night at the Ha Ha, we showcased 10 new upcoming comedians, and we performed to a standing room only sold out show. Had NBC, TV1, Def Jam, all of them was in the house. Representatives from all of those places was in the house. It was just crazy. I don't think I've ever seen a showcase with that much energy in one place that was. And a few of my comics got standing ovations.
Wow.
Never had done comedy in their life before. But they hit it, and I was like, wow. You know, it was just it's a blessing to be able to see young comics, you know, who have never done stand up or some who've only been doing it, you know, 3 to 5 years, come out there and figure it out in them 6 weeks that we worked together and just, you know, knock it out of the park, man. It was great. It was really great to watch last night.
Well, Dave, you do such a magnificent job on really precise in the game. You know, like I say, having been a student taking the class, you know, and I always say to comedians, you know, I've been doing it for quite some time myself, and then after taking your class, I've literally looked at the bullet points. You know, I was starting to read some stuff before I interviewed you, but I was like, let me hold some stuff back because these are like my biblical comedy notes, and I just want to say it before I'm a student, man, seriously, when you read those notes and you look at a joke and you're able to do the setup, the premise, the punch, and you're able to just bam, 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 and you're able to go and rant and tell stories, man, I mean, you just do such a magnificent job. And what made you, because a lot of people in this game don't want to give back, what made you say, you know what, I'm already where I need to be as far as this angle, what made you start teaching this class?
I think probably because I'm not anywhere near where I need or think or want to be in my own career. So I just started teaching it because I don't know, man. I don't know the answer. Everybody always asks me that. And in the beginning, my answer is always, this is the truth. The truth of the matter is it came during a time where I was not working. And I had about 6 or 7 emails on my Facebook account or something, and everybody, all of them said, you know, if you ever decided to teach a stand-up class, I would take it. And I'm like, I ain't teaching no damn class. I'm trying to get out here on my own. And then one day, in one of my many days of sitting in my office not working, trying to figure out what was next, I looked at my inbox, and I was like, I got 6 people here saying they're willing to take a class, which I could probably charge at least $300 for. I said, that's some money. That's something to do. So that's what started it. Then, as I got into it, that was 4 years ago. Then as I got into it, I realized I liked what I was doing. I enjoy comedy, and I'm such a comedian that I want to see other people make it and get it in this business. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep giving back. And then I realized I started to become a better comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I started to look at my own craft differently. And as that happened, man, it just grew. And I don't know, all of a sudden, it, you know, while the classes definitely went up in cost and I've become a better teacher, it's enhanced my career. I've gotten some other opportunities from it. And now, I mean, we got 195 people on my wait list. We got a reality show that we're in the process of a reality show that we're in the process of producing right now based on the class. And I think that the reason the success that I've had in this is because it came from a place of genuineness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really got into really helping comedians. I really got into the art of stand-up comedy because I'm a true comedian. And there's not a lot of comedians out here left. Once guys become stars, they don't really do stand-up no more. Or people in TV, when they're booking people, they're booking celebrities over comedians, funny comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They will book a comedy show, and they will put working actors on the show before they'll put funny guys because they're looking for comedians that, or they're looking for celebrities and not necessarily comedians.
Wow.
So that is one of the things that, you know, that the craft is so disrespected and so taken for granted now, and I'm very protective of it. I've been doing stand-up 17 years, and I'm a comedian. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a comedian that has not yet been given his just due. So, therefore, I just continue to keep working and giving back, and through this is something that's brought attention to myself that I didn't even expect to get. But it's been a blessing, and I enjoy doing it, man.
Let's talk about your writing. You know, I know that you write for Tyler Perry, and actually I just experienced something over the weekend. It was funny. I was in Chicago. I was going to spend some time with my family doing a couple shows and stuff, and I'm sitting up watching Meet the Browns with my sister the other day. You know, we were all playing, and I just started screaming, "That's David!" My lady was sitting there, and I was like, "That's David! That's David!" I made everybody shut up, and every time he rewind your scenes and stuff, "That's my teacher! That's my teacher!" I went to show This Is Us, you know, from the class and stuff like that. So how'd you get on the writing side, and even from the class, did the class take you into writing, and did the writing get you what I saw you on this past weekend?
Yeah, the writing started. I mean, I started writing a long time ago. even as I started doing stand-up, I was writing, you know, short films and things of that such. So I started doing that a long time ago. Then about 4 years ago, I met a guy named Anthony Hill, who's a very seasoned television writer. He and I met on a TV show called The Tony Rock Project, where we were writing sketches and whatnot, and Anthony and I just hit it off immediately. And Anthony has been a television writer for quite some time, and Anthony was like, you know, you're a funny dude, you can write. Next time I get a job and I'm in a place where I have some influence, I'm bringing you with me. Well, 6 months later, he landed a job as the head writer of Meet the Browns at Tyler Perry Studios, and he called me and was like, Dave, I'm the head writer. I think you should write me a script because I want to see if I can get you in. So I went, locked myself away, sat down, and I wrote a script in 2 days, sent it in. They loved it, and next thing you know, I went to Tyler Perry Studios to write, and I ended up going from the new guy to the assistant head writer in a matter of months. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, and then since then, you know, I wrote two seasons of House of Pain, a season of Meet the Browns.
Wow.
And no, I'm sorry, two seasons of Meet the Browns and a season of House of Pain. I think I've written probably well over 35 episodes of TV, you know what I mean, involved in over 200 episodes producing and being on the set involved in. You know, and we recently went and did 10 episodes for Ricky Smiley's show on TV1,
yes,
which is running right now. Started doing that, you know, so I did that, man, and, you know, it's just been a blessing because as a stand-up, I've learned to now hone the stand-up craft into the writing, and it's made me a better actor. And when I was working with Meet the Browns, you know, they wrote this character, which I did not write the character that you saw me do.
Wow.
One of the other writers wrote it, and they were like, Dave, you should audition for it. And they made me audition. They didn't give it to me. They made me audition for the role. I auditioned. It was originally supposed to be a one-off. The character was supposed to do one episode and go away. And I guess they were so happy with what I did that we ended up doing 4 episodes.
Wow, man.
You know, and then the show got canceled.
Man.
But, you know, yeah, but it was, you know, it was just it was a blessing. It was a... you know, it's an experience because I've written 2 original shows on my own now, you know, that I have. One called Life with Dave, which is based on, you know, loosely based on me and Anthony's life combined.
Right.
And, you know, we wrote that for me and Nicole Ari Parker, Boris Kojo's wife. And once you start, you know, once you've been doing it with Tyler Perry Studios, I had a boot camp of television.
Right.
You know, production writing. So I took that and parlayed that into my own stuff. And, you know, it's working for me now. So we're out selling that. We're out selling those 2 shows. We're out also, like I said, I'm doing my reality show based on my stand-up class. And I'm working on a half-hour special for Comedy Central. So, man, I'm waiting my turn is what I'm doing. I don't have the ideal credentials that Hollywood is looking for, meaning I'm not 18 and young. You know what I mean? I'm in my 40s. So they don't look for new guys in their 40s. They look for new guys to be 18 to 25 to 30. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I'm staying in it, man. I'm blessed, man. I'm really blessed. I'm sorry I'm not funnier right now.
No, man. See what it is, man. This is actually an excellent show. This is what I need, man. This is the meat and potatoes of the comedy side that people need to hear, man. That's why I'm so glad to have you on today because, see, where I discovered you and where I became a fan of yours, Dave, was from Black Men Revealed. So, see, when I hear you, you know, and so when I hear you, you know, saying, yeah, I haven't done this and I haven't done that, I mean, I just want to say straight up, you are so humble, man, because, I mean, I'm sitting up,
you,
you can say that you haven't done this, you haven't done that, but I'm sitting up watching you on TV with my family this weekend, you know what I mean? I've sat back in awe taking your class And, bro, I'm not even straight up. I mean, I know I'm a little more boastful, but, Dave, you set me on fire, brother. I'm serious.
This is the thing I say about you is that you don't get a lot of comedians that come that have been doing comedy as long as you have and step up and go, hey, man, I want to take a class and do this. Because, first of all, a lot of people think that the stand-up comedy class is about trying to make people funny, and it's not that. Because I can't make you funny. Nobody can make you funny. You either have the funny gene or you don't. The only thing I do is I show comedians the playbook. I teach them to play. Once I give you the ball, you're on your own.
Yes, sir.
What you do in the open field is up to you. That ability to stick and move, to shake and bake, that's not the thing. That's the same thing that a comedian has. Nobody can teach you that gene, but you put your ego to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I'm going to come do this. And you went in there and got something out of it. Yep. Because that's what you chose to do. A lot of people stand on the sidelines that have been doing comedy far less time than you, and they got 5 or 10 or 20 good minutes, and they're like, I don't need no, you know, and they have an ego about it, which, I mean, I've never personally encountered it, but I know it exists because I know this game, and the game is an ego-driven game.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So, mm-hmm. I, you know, you stepped aside and was like, I'm going to put my ego to the side and I'm going to do this. And you did mm-hmm. it, and you went out, well, I see you on Facebook with all your little pictures and your sunglasses. I see you with your little cool ass. And I'm like, look at this nigga here. This nigga got it down. I said, this nigga is doing it. But, you know, you doing what it takes to try to build a brand and a reputation. Yourself.
Yep.
That's, you know, and that's what you got to do. You can't do nothing less than that. So I respect that from you, brother, and I'm glad that I was able, for a small period of time, be involved in your creative process.
Well, man, it really has enhanced and pushed me a long way. And the thing is, I'm going to be honest, when I started back in 97, I took Steve Rosenfeld's The American Comedy Institute out
okay.
in New York. You know what
okay.
I'm saying? And I always tell people that. And then, like, 15 years later, almost to the day, I was in your class, and the irony of it is that got me started, and I feel like after, between, because it's two levels, you know, you got the Steve Rosenfeld, who's the Jewish comic,
right.
you know, teaching a different certain type of satire, and then
right.
what was beautiful about your class is, and I want to put this out there, it's so diverse. It's not
yeah.
Caucasian. It's not, and
right.
I'm gonna tell you something that I really appreciate what you told us. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been an African American comedian. This is what you said during the class. You said black comedians are gonna have to present themselves to America. You said that white comedians would not ever, cannot ever do one black room and still be the hottest, one of the hottest, funniest comedians of all time in history because they already have America. Black people
That's right.
have to learn. Black comedians have to learn to adapt to America, and it's just
That's right.
like when I get on stage now, like tonight I have to perform in Entourage. I'm doing Flappers. I'm doing, you know, Burbank. I'm doing more white crowds, more Caucasians. It's like, and when I get up there, even from your notes, know my crowd, and that's, I'm putting this out there to my comedians. When I'm on stage now, after taking the Art of Stand-Up comedy class, I know my crowd. And you know, people say, oh, you shouldn't change your stuff. If I'm performing in front of a bunch of diplomats, I'm going to do a different set than I'm going to do in front of, you know, the Backyard Barbecue brothers who just, you know, work, not bad
right.
people or whatever. I'm just saying, they're working
right.
a regular job. You know, they chill.
Right.
You know, so-and-so got their link card, you know, or their EBT card.
Right.
So the conversation
right.
I'm going to have with them is going to be different
it's
from
different.
The conversation I have with, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. And it's not about changing your set. What it's about is having enough diversity within your set that you have a little bit of something to talk about in your bag that relates for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's all my set, but in my set I carry apples, oranges, bananas, and grapefruits. But it's all mine. It's still
right.
mine.
All
I grew
mine.
All of these vegetables. I grew all of these fruits. All of this is mine.
Wow.
So when I go here and I'm performing for them, I give them the oranges because I know this is what they like. When
they
I'm
like
over here, I do this. It's not about changing your set. It's about having enough in your set and being diverse enough in your set to be able to perform for anybody. I perform for anybody. Now, the material that I do, because I do a lot of family-based, relationship-based material, I can pretty much play in front of anybody.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, everybody is in a relationship. Most people,
exactly.
and everybody has family. So they can
yep.
relate to those kind of things. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So therefore, the topic and subject matter that I've tapped into is, you know, broad enough but specific to my life. It's broad enough of a topic, but it's specific in the fact that it's to my life, that I can make
right.
it work. You see what I'm
right.
saying? So I don't have
mm-hmm.
to have, you know, oh, this is my, you know, there's certain things I don't do still, but there are a lot of things I can still do me, you know,
right.
which works. You know what I'm saying? And that's what a lot of comedians don't have. A lot of comedians have 20 minutes. That's their 20 minutes. They're going to do it in front of black, white, young, old,
right.
rich, poor, and that's what it
right.
is. But, you
right.
know, that's why, like I told you in class, and I tell everybody all the time, this is why it takes so long to become a seasoned comedian.
Mm.
You know, because you have to have time to accumulate these things to put in your bag.
Yeah.
It takes
yeah.
time, and you have to have some life and live some life.
When
you
first
know what I mean?
Saw me on stage, when you first saw me on stage at the Union, because like I said, I had always admired you, and when I saw you on stage at the Union, I came up to you. I said, "How'd I do?" This is exactly what you said. You said, "You were funny, but was it coming from a real place?" That's the first thing you told me. You said,
oh,
"Was it coming from a real place?" And it's like, okay, I'm getting up here, and I'm 15, and again,
taking your class, man, I'm gonna tell you, it put the spike of what I needed, because I was getting up there, I was doing my shit. That's funny. My stuff is funny.
Right.
Boom, I know I'm funny. I can get up here, I can do this, bam. I can do some shit, I can make them laugh, I can do some impressions, and I'm funny. Now, my opening bit, the opening bit I do, what's made me really a beast now, and I'm going to just say it flat out, and I'm not scared of any crowd ready to get on stage at any time, because the first bit I do was a bit, you when you said to us, let's talk about moving back home with your parents. Just run it.
Oh, wow.
And,
yeah.
And that bit, every single time, I don't care if it's black, white, college, young, old, when I say, you know, man, you think about moving home with your parents, you know, but as soon as I got there, I realized why I moved in the first place. You taught us how to take a joke and structure it to where when you start talking and you say something, and you like put a reverse on it and you spin it and you bring it right back, and then boom.
Right.
And that's what makes that stuff so relatable, man. And that's why, man, the art of stand-up comedy. Man, I'm going to ask you straight up, and I'm going to tell you, you should. Do you have a book already? Have you written a book on the art of stand-up comedy?
I'm in the process of writing a book right now called The Art of Stand-Up Comedy. Yes, I am. I'm in the process of taking all the stuff that I talk about and teach in the classes, and I'm going to do a book on it. I just put the class up online. All of the lectures that you saw that I do every week, all of those lectures are now up online and available, and they're edited, and I've incorporated my stand-up into the lectures.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So you can,
wow.
So somebody, I got an online class now, and I'm working with five different comedians around the country, one in London, one in Maryland, one in Cleveland, one in D.C., and St. Louis. So the class is starting to grow online as well. So, yeah, man, all of those things, you know, they're getting these grassroots, but I'm definitely going to write this book, The Art of Stand-Up Comedy, you know, and just talk about it and the things that I teach, because I believe that, you know, there's a place for it.
Right. It definitely is.
You
the world needs laughter. Let's talk about your DVD. The DVD that you produce called I Never Heard of You Either. Let's talk about that one. Where you got the name? Because first of all, even just the name alone, Dave, that shows. I mean, people need to understand. That's David Arnold. That's David Arnold-esque right there. I don't know you either. You know what I'm saying?
That,
flat out.
That came from the truth.
Yeah.
It came from the fact that I'm a comedian that's been doing stand-up 17 years, and for the most part, most of the world don't know who I am. And I'm at that point in my career where I'm always battling, who is this? And I get on the stage to doubt and to, people are skepticism.
Right.
And then very soon, 5 minutes into the set, they realize, oh, shit, how have I never heard of this dude?
Wow.
So I just decided when I did it, I was like, you know, I wrote it and I did the show, and I went, because I got that a lot in my career. Well, I never heard of you. Well, never heard of you either, so.
Right.
You know, and I decided to call it that. So I shot it last year at the Comedy House Theater in Columbia, South Carolina.
Wow.
And it's 55, 53 minutes, and it's just, it's a funny, funny DVD. We got some bonus material on there, which I've done. I've done something on the bonus material that no other comedian has done to this day, and I'm really hoping that I can get a real level of success before it catches on, because the moment other comedians like Kevin and the people, they're going to do it, because it's a dope bonus thing that nobody has done, which is I do voiceover commentary over my set, like a director does. So
the director's cut of
your
comedy. Oh, my God.
Right. You can actually hear me talking, and I talk about that joke and how it came about, and I talk about the show and how it came about, just all of my thoughts and the stage and everything as a comedian. So you get a chance to see a comedian perform, and you get the chance to see my inner thoughts about what's really going on. So nobody has ever done that before. Me and Rodney Perry did it on a DVD that we produced about 5 years ago called Light Skin, Dark Skin. That we did. Rodney did. We did a voiceover commentary on that. And my biggest thing is, I'm hoping that I can get to a level before somebody like one of these big dogs hears about it and starts to do it, because then it'll be, you know, then they will be the first person who has ever done it.
Well, now you get the brand on that, D. Get the brand on that. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, make sure they know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I make sure I put it out on here. But speaking of light skin, dark skin, it's something funny, man. When I was in Chicago, me and B. Cole, it's funny because I was talking to B. Cole about you. I said, man, I took David Arnold's class, man, and he's going to be doing my radio show. And B was like, man, what David up to? I said, man, out there killing it. You know what I'm saying? So I want to just let you know, man. B. Cole, say, man, what's up? You know what I mean? You remember B?
Yeah, I remember. Tell B, I said, what's up? I got to go now.
Okay, man.
Because I'm at this place where, but you know, because I'm here. How you doing? So, but it, can we? You want to finish this out, or you want me to call you back and we tag it? Are you recording this live?
Yeah, I'm recording it live, but I tell you what, Dave, you do what you got to do. I stay on the air. I go off at 12, but I can play a little music and chill. And if you can call back in before 12, I'll be sitting right here waiting on you, man.
I'll call you back as soon as I get done with this, brother.
Sounds good. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you,
man. That's David Arnold.
Okay.
All right, no problem. That's David Arnold, y'all. He's taking care of Sprint Bill, but, you know, he gave us some time, man. And I hope that my comedians and also my listeners, man, took that in, man. This dude is, like, an amazing comic. His work ethic is really what I admire the most, and why I have so much respect and rapport for Mr. David Arnold, because he goes hard. Actually, I was talking about Daryl Andrews, myself being signed to Full Screen. David is out also with Full Screen as well. So pay attention to all the things that David Arnold is doing, man. We're going to see if we can have him back. But until then, man, we're going to jam a little bit. Let me find some good music, you know what I'm saying, to kind of ride out to, see what we're going to chill to today. yeah, again, I want to say I haven't forgot about my my brother-in-law, man, Larrell Robinson. I'm going to be doing a song tomorrow. I'm going to dedicate this next cut to him, man, because Larrell 395 pounds, man. Brother-in-law wasn't no punk. I enjoy being around him because when you was with him, you definitely felt safe if you ain't feel nothing else, all right? So we're going to go ahead and play the song. We're going to get a little jigger, big pimpin'. And from there, we're going to see if we get David on the back. If not, y'all, we're going to close the show, and want to send peace and love to everybody, man. Prayers to all people out there, you know what I'm saying? Take the ones you love. Hold them to you, you know what I'm saying? Have God grant you the serenity to accept the things you cannot change. Change the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Seek ye first kingdom of God, and all things shall come unto you. All right, this is Jigga, man. We big pimpin'. LaVell Robinson, y'all.
Big pimpin', baby. Big pimpin', spinach. Feel me? You know I thug 'em, fuck 'em, love 'em, leave 'em, 'cause I don't fucking need 'em. Take 'em out the hood, keep 'em looking good, but I don't fucking feed 'em. First time they fuss, I'm breathing. Talk about what's the reason? I'm a pimpin' every sense of the word, bitch. Better trust and believe 'em. In the cut where I keep 'em, till I need a nut, till I need to be the gut, then it's beep beep, and I'm picking them up. Let 'em play with the dick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put chicken fists and cuff, divorce them and split his buck. Just because you got good head, I'ma break bread so you can be living it up. Shit, I part with nothing, y'all be frontin'. Me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happen. I'll be forever mackin', heart cold and assassin. I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Hope get your ass in, and let's ride.
Coming straight about the black barrio. Make the meal upon for sorry ho. Now sit back and beat my scenario. Oops, my bad, that's my scenario. No, I can't fuck a scary hoe. Now every time, every place, everywhere we go, hoes stop pointing and say, there he go. Now these motherfuckers know we carry more heat than a little bit. We don't pull it out over little shit. And if you catch a lick when I spin, then it won't be a little hit. Go read a book, you illiterate son of a bitch, and step up your vocab. Don't be surprised if your hoes have out with me and you see it coming down on your slab. Living gets so fabulous, so mad, you just can't take it. But nigga, if you hate now, then you wait while I get your bitch butt naked. Just break it. You gotta pay like you ain't wet with two pairs of clothes on. I get your ass in the back as I flash to the track. Timberland, let me spit my pros on. Post it up in the pro zone. That's the track that we breaking these hoes on. Ain't the track that we flows on. But when shit get hot, then the glass start popping like ozone. We keep hoes drunk like Trigger Man. We really don't get no bigger, man. Don't trip, let's just getting sold on the slip. Getting blown with the motherfucking Jigger Man, bitch. Man, PMC and BUNB, 'cause we be big pimpin', spin
smoking eyes pulling up, keeping lead up in my cup. All my car got leather and wood in my hood, we call it buck. Everybody wanna ball, holler brawl at the mall. You be up, watch them fall, nigga, I can't fuck with y'all. If I wasn't rapping, baby, I would still be riding Mercedes, coming down and sipping daily. No records that white and paving. Now what y'all know about them Texas bars, coming down and candy toys, smoking weed.
Man, you know what I mean, on the radio, you know, doing it with us today, man. I mean, I'm listening to him, you know, humble, man, you know, all the accolades he's been blessed with and still like, man, you know, I'm still this and that. But, man, David, man, I'm going to say straight up, man, David Arnold is a beast, man. If you've seen him perform, you know what I'm talking about. For the artists such as myself that have taken his class, you see what he told me, look, I gave you the ball, it's on you, you know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you, I always keep in touch with Dave, you know, I do a live Skype with him sometime, you know, because, man, he is the guru, man, and the brother is well worth every dollar spent. So go to theartofstandupcomedy.com, check out davidaarnold.com, you know what I mean? You can follow him on Facebook or Twitter, David A. Arnold. You know, the brother's branded, he's banded, man, and I'm telling you, man, he's truly a legend, man, and somebody that we all should embrace and support, man, because the brother is doing, he's doing it beastly, man, on some next-level stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, I just want to go ahead and tell y'all, man, I just spent the last past week in Chicago. I flew out on Virgin Airlines. Shout out to Virgin Airlines. Oh, my God. For those of you who Virgin America, man, it goes down, man. They got the, yo, I took a picture. I'm going to show y'all, man. I'm going to post it up on my Facebook, man. Follow me, Artistically Trey Love or Comedian Trey Love. And on Twitter, it's Trey Loveism. Instagram is Trey Loveism, I think. And shoot, send me an email, treylove@treylove.com. Let's chop it up, y'all. Let's get to know each other real, real good. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of man I am. I like to touch my people. But, yeah, man, flew out, smooth flight. My cousin Jerome picked me up. You know what I'm saying? Jerome Gandy, shout out to his wife. You know what I'm saying? Jerome and Marie Gandy and their kids, Diamond, Dominique, and Michael, just for showing love, man. We had such a wonderful time. Shout out to my auntie Janice, my sister Mimi, Monique, my brother-in-law Chris. Yo, that's the whole Chicago family, man. My nephew, DJ. Let me see who else. My cousin, Candace. My auntie, Vicky. I want to shout out. Man, we losing them, y'all. My auntie, Chiquita, she passed away. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was hard to see her obituary, you know what I mean? Come to find out, she was OES, Order East and Star. So, not only was she my aunt, she was my sister, too, man. These are the just the wonderful things that we have to share with the family that we have, man, you know, and that's why it's so tough right now for my sister to be in her position, you know, right after Thanksgiving to be losing her husband. And, you know, shout out to Lavelle Robinson Jr., man. Boy, you was a real dude, man. You was a real dude, man, and you will be missed, man. Shout out to his sons, you know, my nephews, Justin and Jarrell, man. Shout out to y'all, man. I know y'all boys is tore up on the inside right now. I know how much they love their dad, man, because that dude, man, he was on them, man. He raised them boys. I mean, he got in that butt when he was supposed to. You know what I'm saying? He did what he had to do, man. And, I mean, I just want to say to the family, to the loved ones, man, you know, it's hard. It's hard. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, we just keep pushing, man. We got to stay happy. We got to stay loving. You know what I'm saying? We got to stay at bliss. You know, we have to. You know, there's no way out of that. And when you live in life and you're going through these things, man, you know, they are the most horrible things that you could ever go through, you know, when you lose a loved one. But the thing is, you have to know that God has his perfect plan, you know what I mean? God has his hand in the midst. So, you know, when you believe in a higher power, and I'm not here to tell you what to believe in or who to believe in. I'm going to just tell you, believe in something. You know what I'm saying? Believe in something. Know that, you know, it is a higher power. It is something that put us here, and it's something, don't be arrogant enough to think that you are the end-all, end-alls. It's something bigger than us in another form that put us here, and something in a bigger form that once we leave this planet, we're going somewhere else. So when you see life as a continuous growth, I mean, my brother just finished, but it was really, I'm going to tell y'all something, man. It was funny, man. I just, as a brother, you know, it's time to be a brother, you know what I mean? This is, you know, my sister, and I had to be on the phone with her, you know. I wasn't going to allow her to be in that cold form of misery by herself, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I had to be with her, man. And, I mean, listening to her, she sound a lot better, man. She sound good. She's, you know, she sounds like she's here with us in a reality sense, you know what I mean? It's like a reality, like, you know, her husband's gone, and she realizes it, you know, because people, you know, I was so worried because I'm like, my sister ain't going to be able to take this, you know what I mean, because I know how she is, man, you know how people love, but she, like I said, she sound good, she holding it down, and just, I sent so many prayers and blessings over to my family, and I just want to end this show, man. I'm going to go on and end it, and I'm going to end this show with the proper song, and end it the right way, and tomorrow we're going to do a show dedicated to my brother-in-law, Lavelle Robinson, but I just want to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to end the show off and let it go. But before I do, man, I want to thank David Arnold for taking the time out to interview today, man, because David, I'm going to tell you something, y'all. This guy, he's iconic, man. He's iconic, man. David is really a superstar comedian, you know, one to watch, and, I mean, you know, a writer, producer, DVD, I don't know you either. David ain't messing around, man. He getting it. So I just want to say straight up, flat out, man, thank you for taking the time to interview. And he was, like, apologizing for not being funny. But sometimes it ain't, and most of the time, you know, life is real. You know, it's a time to be funny. But this was a show, I think, that needed to have a feel to it. And you guys need to know that comedy is serious. You know, it's just like anything else in life, something that you're taking serious, something you have a passion about, you have to give to it. And that's what David Arnold does for comedy. So shout out to him, man. Big ups to him, and keep grinding and shining, Dave. You already there to me, you know what I'm saying? I want to work with you. I'm put it out there. I want David to be like, you know what I'm saying? Me and David could be brothers, you know what I'm saying? He could be my uncle or something, you know what I mean? My older brother, you know, we could kick it, man. We could get it, you know what I'm saying? Playing some ball or something, teaching me some game, you know what I'm saying? However it go, you know, put it together. I'm going to see if I can drop a bug in Dave here, see if I get a part of one of them shows. You know what I'm talking about? So before I go, like I said, I want to do a quick prayer. Rest in peace. December 16th, 1968 to November 27th, 2012, yesterday. Brother-in-law, I love you, man. I miss you. This is from your nephew. Let me go ahead and get in prayer real quick. Y'all join me in prayer. I just want to say to God, we come to you, you know, everyone with our Handsome Life Radio. We come to you humble. We come to you in prayer, putting you in your perspective place, which is first and foremost. We ask that you rain your blessings and your comfort down on my sister, LaShawn Robinson, and her two sons, Jarrell and Justin Robinson, so that they may be content, you know, may be able to live and go on and move through this moment. Hopefully they take it as the understanding that Lavelle has finished his journey and let's move him on to his better place where he is destined to be and gone. His book is closed. But for those of us left, we have so many beautiful memories of him. And we want to thank you, Father, for allowing him to be put here to share his moment with us. All of this we are grateful for in prayer. Amen. This goes out to Lavelle Robinson, Jr. I love you, brother-in-law.
How do I say goodbye? Is going to be
And I'll take with me the name of me. Supreme sunshine and the rain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. And I'll take with me the memory to bring my sunshine after the rain. It's so hard.